This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. As I said, that the page is starting to turn toward football, and I'm joined now by Russell Baxter of ProFootballGuru.com. And Russell, I spent some time on this earlier in the show in regards to Tyreek Hill. So I don't want that to be the bulk of what we're going to talk about, but I did want to get your opinion. The way I've put it is it's both a complex and concerning situation. It's complex because we don't know all of the details of what actually went down. It is concerning because we heard his threatening language. You know, investigators or the DA had said that they did believe a crime was committed against the child, though they couldn't bring criminal charges. If I were in charge, I would have done something as the NFL, though I was never one of the people calling for banishment or anything like that because we needed all the details. What did you make of no suspension for Tyreek Hill?
I think I was a little surprised because, you know, if you look at some of the past cases, Robin, when it comes to this stuff and other acts as well, it's conduct detrimental to the league. It doesn't necessarily mean that someone was actually guilty of something in terms of being prosecuted or arrested or charged or anything like that. So, you know, taking the overall general picture and something else to keep in mind here, whether this is fair or whether people agree with me or not, you know, the stuff that happened with Tyreek Hill when he was not in the NFL, to me, there seems to be a lot of people very angry about that, and understandably so. But more so, the fact that he was even drafted at all, Robin, by the Chiefs. That has nothing to do, per se, with the current situation. It shows a track record. I understand that. But this is on the merits of something recent. Mm-hmm. You go with the phone calls. You go on that. That's what they have to go on. And it just shows you. I mean, think about our court system, how a lot of these cases are, you know, not handled well because of lack of evidence or someone refuses to testify. We see it all the time in real life. I think the issue to me with the NFL is the constant confusion on how they come up with these decisions because it almost seems random. A 6-game for this, a 2-game for this, a 4-game for this. There doesn't seem to be any rhyme or reason when it comes to handing down these sentences. And then, you know, they react to someone who gets, like Ezekiel Elliott, maybe harshly suspended for 6 games, and they go completely the opposite way.
Yeah.
So they seem like they're dropping these sentences based on public opinion, and yet there doesn't seem to be any format or precise formula as to what these things should be, what the suspension should be.
Yeah, leadership is, you know, coming to your decision and then standing by your decision, and it mm-hmm. always seems like they're backpedaling by whatever way the wind blows.
Yes, yeah, I think the league does that even with stuff on the field in terms of rules as well. They react so quickly to Brett Favre not getting the ball in overtime or an interference call or a team not getting the ball. The reaction is so swift. I mean, it seems like they're so eager to please everyone and they wind up pleasing no one.
You know, you mentioned Ezekiel Elliott. Let's shift gears to him for a second because there has been talk that he might hold out. And, you know, from a share of the Cowboys offense and a performance standpoint, I guess that makes sense. And I typically side with the players considering they're playing football and you know, they don't have guaranteed contracts. And, you know, you could argue they're relatively underpaid. But the timing of his holdout would seem odd considering he had another incident this summer. And, you know, the Cowboys have had his back in a lot of these fights with the NFL.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, it's not like he's going into the option year of his contract either. He's going into the fourth year of a fifth-year contract. So I think the timing on that is very odd as well. But I think what he sees is, you know, Dak Prescott in the final year of his deal and wanting to get paid. Ezekiel Elliott led the league in rushing two of his first three seasons in the league. There's no doubt that he is a cowbell. He really generates that offense because that's how the offense is built. The offense is built around a solid offensive line and a relentless ground attack, and that opens everything up. It's more old-school football than it's ever been in an era where teams are throwing the ball all over the place. So it's almost as if he's reacting, and I'm saying this from afar, he's reacting to what Dak is hoping to get, saying, hey, don't forget about me. I'm a big part of this too.
Robin Lundberg talking to Russell Baxter of ProFootballGuru.com here on CBS Sports Radio. One more for you on the Cleveland Browns. They've sort of been the story of the NFL offseason, whether it's what Baker Mayfield has said, of course, Odell Beckham heading over there. How much do you think the Browns are hype, and how much do you think the Browns are legitimate?
Well, I think they're very the potential in offense is tremendous. Okay, when you pair Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. together, and you have a quarterback who's aggressive, you know, obviously he jumped into action the third game of the season last year against the Jets on the Thursday night and made an impact, set a rookie record for touchdown passes in the season, you know, very brash. And I mean that in terms of his style of play, very aggressive, almost not afraid to throw interceptions. Again, like the old school mentality, you know, I'm going to throw the ball downfield. I'm going to trust my players. They're going to make plays. I'm going to make some mistakes, and he'll get better with that with experience. And I look at Nick Chubb in the backfield, who was really a big part of their offense once they got him into the starting lineup. And that's what makes them dangerous. My only question on the Browns is, even though they, you know, they had Myles Garrett and they picked up Sheldon Richardson and made some other nice moves as well. Olivier Vernon was part of, you know, the multi deals with the Giants and all that stuff. Are they going to be able to stop anyone? I mean, you look at them defensively last year, despite the takeaways and despite the sacks from Garrett, they were not a great defense. I mean, they're a very flashy team, but can that flash get them to the playoffs for the first time since 2002?
Yeah, and people seem to be underestimating like the improvement level they even had to finish the way they did last year. This was not a team that was on the cusp and would be making the jump over the top. It's a team that has to show that they're in the mix with the good teams whatsoever.
Oh, there's no question about it. And they're in a very savvy division, okay? I mean, the Pittsburgh Steelers obviously had an off year last year, slumped down the stretch. The Baltimore Ravens won the division, got hot at the end of the year, changed their offensive style. The Bengals have hit the skids the last 3 years after being in the playoffs, 5 years in a row. I mean, this is a division, I have to tell you, going back the last decade or so, that is more times than not sent two or even three teams to the playoffs. So, there's a lot of continuity in that, you've got one head coach who's been there since 2007, one head coach that's been there since 2008. Obviously, the Bengals changed coaches for the first time in more than a decade. So the Browns are building. I'm not ready to make the leap to them yet, and I want to see what they look like during the preseason. But just make the playoffs in that division, much less the AFC, is a tall order.
Russell, appreciate your time this morning, man. Have a good weekend.
You got it, Robin.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.